Father, I worship you. Be magnified, O God, be exalted. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. There is none like you, Father. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. I worship you. Be lifted high, O God, be exalted. Come on, Father, I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. You are King and you are Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I worship you. Highly lifted up. I see you, oh God. Highly lifted up. Magnified in this place. And so I worship you. I bow before you. I bow before you. You are King. You are Lord. You deserve my praise. You deserve the lifting up of my hands. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Adonai. Oh, Jesus. Yahweh. Be magnified, O God. Oh, Salaba Brahana Kosuda Leba Hanabo Sida Leba. Oh, would you kneel this morning and say, Father, I worship you. Worship you, Lord. Be magnified, be exalted, O God. Oh, Sheila, practice no more pranking in the day soon. Jito Boko Salabrahala da Bahase. And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. Come on.
As long
for your mercies. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We say, Father, I kneel to worship you. I kneel in honor of your word. I receive and submit myself to the light of your word. I am changed by your word into the same image as Christ. And Christ is seen, felt, and received through my life. Now I bring down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to obedience to Christ. I yield myself to your word, paying complete attention. I receive grace and wisdom that changes my life. Your words are spirit and life to me, that healing my body and restoring my soul. I receive every blessing you have prepared for me today. Your peace and joy are multiplied in my life. My life is a testament to you. I rejoice at your word, as one that has found great treasures. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Somebody, is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody. Welcome somebody. It's good for us to be here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's good for us to be here. Glory to God. You may please be seated. Oh, what a time of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's really good for us to be here, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's get into the word today. Last week, we began to talk about how to maximize God's grace. You know, and we have the grace of God, and we must and we should learn to maximize the grace of God. How do we maximize the grace of God? And we said that God's grace has been poured out upon us this year. We have so much, the Lord has done so much already in our lives by the outpouring of His grace. But it's important that we must walk with Him. It's no longer up to God, it's now up to us to take that grace, to take the grace of God, and then to maximize it. To take the grace of God, to maximize the grace of God, to walk in that grace. And when we walk in that grace, we will see the fullness of what He has in store for us. It's no longer up to God. There's an outpouring of grace upon our lives. Come on, say amen. Amen. It's up to us now. And we take the grace of God and use it. We said we can hinder God's grace. God's grace can be hindered by our thoughts, by our actions, and by inactions. By our thoughts, our actions, and inactions. These things can hinder. We can walk contrary to the grace, or we can walk contrary to the grace. So our thoughts, or we might not even be walking according to the grace. So our thoughts, our actions, our inactions can hinder the grace of God upon our lives and hinder the things that God wants to do in our lives. And so we must cooperate with God. The Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be in agreement?" So it's important that we learn how to take God's grace and maximize it and use it, you know, for our benefit this year, this new year. Amen. And we began from Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 21. Galatians 2:21. Can we just look at that scripture again? Because I'd like to do a recap so that I can bring everybody together. You know, there are other people who have joined us online, and then you are here, and maybe even worshiping with us for the first time. You might just need to just, I just want them to get the whole thought. So we began from Galatians 2:20, when Apostle Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." So Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." And that's where we began to talk. That's where we began from. Now we say it is possible to have grace and then to frustrate the grace of God. That this, there's things that God has done. There's the power of God and the grace of God upon your life. But it can be there and it can be frustrated. And if you frustrate the grace of God, you will not see the fullness of God's plans in your life. Are you here? And so that's what we are talking about. And the first thing we talked about last week is desire. We said you have the grace of God and you must have that desire there. Something that you want to achieve. That is what you really, really want. What is bubbling inside of your heart. That is your desire. We said you are looking at that desire. Or, well, we can use the word vision. Vision, right? The vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And so if you don't have a vision for your life, you don't have a desire, a burning desire for what you want to see in your life, you could literally be frustrating God's grace and power available in your life. It is very important. I desire this thing. This is what I really want. I want to see these things in my life. I want to have these things in my life. And the thing is that I told you last week, I said everything begins with desires. Everything starts from there. God started from there. Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let us, if you need to think about this and say, this is what I want. I want to have a kind of a being that is after my own likeness, that is after my own image. This is my desire, right there. So you have, it begins with a desire. You can't just go and go day by day and say, as far as I did go. As far as I go, I said I'm doing a quick recap. I have to move faster than this. You know, being alive doesn't fulfill destiny. More they go, it will not work. You have to say, this is what I want. You have to actually have a desire. So the thing is, what is your desire for 2020? What do you want to achieve? What do you really want? It's not one thing off the head. Just say, okay, I think it would be good to have. No. I mean, a burning desire in your heart. This is what I want to achieve for my 2026. This is what I want to achieve for my life. This is what I want to really have. This is where I want to be in my life. You have to have that mental picture, that desire, that vision there. If the vision is not there, if desire is not there, I mean, God can even bring the opportunities for you, but because you don't have a desire, you will not be able to enter into them. That is the truth. You have the opportunity, but because it's not in your mind, it's not in your heart, it's not a desire you have, you will not identify it. The only way you identify an opportunity is to have the desire. When you have the desire and then the opportunity comes, you will know, this is what I have been wanting. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been desiring. This is the vision I've seen in my heart. And so you take some time out. You can write, you should write out your desires. It's very powerful. You know, just you might say, take a pen and a paper, a biro, and then I want to write out what I really want to achieve. What is my real desire? This is not somebody said something, and my friend liked this thing, so I think it's good, and me too, I like it. This is you. This is personal to you. Are you here? This is personal to you. You know, when you have these desires, I told you again that it is because you are capable of having them. A desire is not the bad thing. It's not a bad thing. There's a time the Lord showed me this scripture. I thought about it some time ago, where the Lord said to David, and David went and took, you know, he took Bathsheba, he took Uriah's wife, and the Lord came. You know, when you read that scripture, it's powerful. And the Lord said to David, he said, see, I've given you this stuff. I've given you your master's wives. I've given you all the wives you want. He said, if you wanted more wives, I would have given you. Did you raise there? I don't have time to turn there. He said, if you wanted more wives, I would have given you. This thing you have done is bad. If you had come to ask me for this thing, I would have given you. The thing about it, I teach this with passion. I'm staying here because a lot of Christians think having desire is a bad thing. Wanting something is a bad thing. No, the truth is, if you don't want any, you can't come to God and don't want anything. You know, there's this song people sing that I really don't like, child, but alas, there is something that makes me come into your presence. I mean, okay, so that's the something we're talking about. Something. You dance all the dance. I agree with you. So what is the something that made you come to his presence? Trouble starts in church. Just do it. What do you mean? What do you want? I mean, what do you really want? So desire is not a bad thing. I want this, not a one. I mean, the Lord said to David, you can check it up. He said, if you wanted more wives, I would have given you. I've given you all this stuff. I gave you all these things. If you want stuff, if you wanted this, I would have given you. So it's important. We looked at two scriptures. I'm going to turn them. I'm just going to quote them. It says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. When you pray, we talk about desires and prayers. And we said, so you can get the message. We said to pray. We said one of the things, when you have this desire in you, then you should begin to pray about them. When you have desires in you, you pray about them. And if remember one time again, I don't even work connected to this thing. Remember one time again, I talked about prayer and why you don't pray. You won't pray because you don't have anything to pray about. There's no desire. Nothing is born inside of your heart. There's nothing you are doing. So if I say, let's pray, say, oh, prayer is boring. Prayer takes time. Prayer takes time. If you stand before God and you have desires and you come before God, 10 minutes will not be enough. If the desire is burning, 30 minutes will be a joke. Did you get what I said now? You come before God and say, Father, this is what I want. I mean, I really want my year. You start. You go to the financial side. You go to your health side. You go to your relationships. You go to academics. You go to your family. You go to your business. You go to your job. Before you are done, you won't even be looking at time. And these desires are burning within your heart. I mean, when you are no prayer, it's because really there is nothing there. But we say, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive them, right? So you have desires. You said what you do with those desires is not to let them consume you there, but to actually go out to God, go up to God in prayer about your desires. So we have the desires and prayers, and we have desires and pursuits. And I said that when you desire, you pray, and that is good, but that is not all. When you pray and you come to God, you desire something, and then you come to God and you pray about it, the next thing you should do is to also begin to walk towards it. Right? Begin to walk towards that desire. His power and grace is available now for you to use to meet that desire, to reach that goal, and to be all that you should be. Hallelujah. you know, it's one thing to desire something. In the case of desire and pursuit, I just want to add the scripture there where we talk about where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, we want to sit at your right hand, at your left hand. I think James and John, the brothers, they came and said, we want to sit at your right hand, your right, left hand, and right hand. And Jesus said, will you be able to drink of the cup that I will drink from? So Jesus said, listen, what you ask is not a bad thing. Right? He didn't say it's a bad thing. How would you say something like that? Do you want to be great? You know, the psalmist said, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. How would you say you want to be great? How would they be complete? I'm praying, Lord, increase my greatness. What kind of prayer is that? How you pray that? That's not a bad prayer. You decide that what you want? No problem. Now, the question is, will you be able to drink the cup of greatness? Right? Will you be able to do the work that will get you there? That's very important. So, number one in this discussion here is desires, right? And that desires there, we said you will take them to God in prayer and then you begin to actually pursue them. So you can write desire plus prayer, desire plus pursuit. So desire plus prayer, desire plus pursuit. If you do not pursue your desires, you will not see them. The grace of God, the working of God, it does not come for you to sit down. I mean, so again, you just remember this, the power of the Holy Ghost is not for sitting down. You don't use it for sitting down. I mean, it's to get you up to do something, right, to fulfill something there. So, desire plus prayer, desire plus pursuit. All right, we said that, number one, last week. Number two, I think I will do about seven things, I don't know, but let's just continue to go. Number two, we talked about change. Are you still in church? We talked about change. I know some of you, we talked about this last week. When I said I'm recapping for people so we can be on the same page. Number two, we talked about change. We said you must be willing to change. You must be willing to move. Abraham, God told Abraham, I told you, think about it. God told Abraham, move from this place to this place. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. Why didn't he just bless him where he was? You must be willing to change. You don't want to stay to telling us something. Willing to change. Just move from here. Could he not have blessed him where he was? He could. But he says, I want you to change. And sometimes we are so stuck in our ways. We are so stuck in the mindset, in thoughts, that this is how I want it to be. You know, even when Naaman came to Elijah to be healed, he said, I thought he would come out, he would wave his hand on that place, he would do that and call upon the name of his God. How will he just say, go and bathe his river? His mindset was stuck in that the way the healing will happen. He was not willing to change. They had to beg him. He now just changed his mind and got the healing there. So we said something is, we cannot continue saying, this is how I am. This is how my face is. This is how, I don't know how to do this thing. I don't know how to do that thing. That won't really help you at all. Right? Abraham could say, I don't like traveling. Since we don't like many. But there's something that the Lord said to us many years ago. And the Lord said to us, it's not what I like. It's not what I feel like. It's what I must do to get to my destiny. It's not what I like. If you keep doing what you like, you end up where you have been. You won't move forward. It's not what I like. It's not what I feel like. It's what I must do. I don't like traveling. I'll not be moving from place to place. I don't like traveling. You know, Abraham could say something like that. Noah could say, I'm not a carpenter. Come on. Do you think Noah was a carpenter? Come on. I'm not a carpenter. So, what are you talking about? Abraham said, I'm not a nomadic guy. I'm a house husband. I've been in one place with my family and all that. So I'm used to that. Normally, when I move through my tent here, from here, put the tent here. I don't know how to travel. I don't like traveling. And you could frustrate the grace of God upon your life. Say, the things I don't like. I don't like doing this. I'm not used to doing this. I'm not even a carpenter. God calls the man to build an ark. He has given him grace. Grace to build ark. There's ark building grace in him. He cannot say, but I'm not a carpenter. Then he will frustrate the grace of God upon his life. Because when God called him and said, hey, Noah, build ark for me, guess what? The grace came. The grace came upon him to build the ark. But he will not say, but Lord, I am not a carpenter. Lord, I don't know how to hammer something. I'm not a leader. Moses said, I cannot talk. Moses said, I can't talk. I don't know how to talk. I stammer. All manner of things, but there's grace there. So we could literally hinder the grace. The thing that God could call you to greatness, call you to do great things through this year, want to do things in your life, but you could use the I am not I don't know how to do this thing. You could use that. And if you use that, you frustrate the grace of God upon your life. Are you in church today? You frustrate the grace of God. And so there's so much for us this year, 26, but we do the things the way we like to do them, how we like to do them, and then we frustrate the grace of God, and then we wonder what happens through the year. But that's not for us this year, 2026. We'll cooperate with the grace of God, and we'll enter into what God wants for us today. We'll cooperate with the grace. We'll not frustrate God's grace. So it's not, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. Peter, imagine Peter say, I'm a fisherman, not a leader. I'm just a fisherman. No, he said, I went to Leadership Institute. Leadership Institute, leadership training, leadership talk. But Peter didn't go to any leadership something. Just Peter. And now you are calling me to lead and to do this work. I'm not used to that. I don't do that. And then, where will Peter be today? The things that you are not doing, right? They determine the things that also you will also not see in your life. Come on. If you are not doing this, then you will not get this. You can't be planting corn and be hoping to see cassava. It doesn't work that way. Are you here? I'm not used to planting cassava. I'm not used to planting cassava. I'll be planting corn. If you keep planting corn, it's obvious you will get corn. But if you want to move from one level to another, then you must change. You must do something differently. It might not be what you like. You might not be used to it. But if you do it, step out on the grace of God. If God has called you to do something, God has said, this is what I want you to do. You're going to expand your business. You're going to do stuff. You're going to get this stuff. Then you need to change. You need to change. You need to move. He wants you to move. We must learn to move. And that's change. And that's important. Some people fight change. They fight change. And they make it look like change is hard. It's impossible. It's difficult. I cannot. I showed you scriptures last week concerning this. I want to look at that scripture in Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to look at that. I really like that. Because change is not hard. You just need to say, I want to cooperate with the grace of God upon my life. There's grace for greatness. There's grace for us in 2026. You are coming out of 2026 bigger than you came in. That will mean that you have to change your mindset. That will mean that you have to do something differently. That will mean that you have to step out of your comfort zone. It's not I am not this or I am not that. Look at what Apostle said in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Next verse. Wherefore putting away lying. He said, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. See the way he talked about lying. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Putting away, it's not hard. Say, Pastor, this thing they do me, it's not really hard. Just put it away. Are you here? Next verse. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Next verse. Neither give place to the devil. I like this one. Neither give place to the devil. Say, once anger don't come, trouble don't come. That's not true. He said, be angry and sin not. It's not possible. Then here it says, neither give place to the devil. It's not like if it's hard. It's easy. I won't do this stuff. I will do what the world says for me to do. It's not what I like. It's not what I feel like. It's what I must do for my destiny. I'm not a corn farmer. I'm not used to planting corn. I plant cassava. But I need corn. I want to see corn. And corn, if I plant corn, I will get much more than I get from cassava. So what do I do? Come on. I get this stuff. And then, come on, begin to plant it. I begin to learn. I learn how to do it. I don't begin to do it. And I step out in the grace of God for my life. Step out. There's grace. So you begin to do it. Once you begin to do it, or you get to learn it, you find that it's effortless. It will flow. You'll be able to do it. I'm not used to this. Why I'm not used to this. I cannot do this. I hear it a lot. It's funny. And then you want us to pray. And then we pray. And then we anoint oil. We do all manner of stuff. But you are not used to this. You do not like this. And you do not, what am I going to do? What do you want God to do? I don't like drowning, but I'm not a carpenter. I cannot build the ark. These people stepped out. They stepped out upon the grace of God. Abraham had not traveled before. Grew up at home. When Abraham stepped up and said, if he said I should go, I should move, I'll move. God says move and I'll bless you. You need to understand that change is very, is easy and is powerful. It will bring about, I want to say it will bring about change in your life. Change will bring about change in your life. What will bring about change in your life? It's change. Step out. No one would have drowned with those people. You say, I'm not a carpenter. God didn't call a carpenter. He had to change. He had to retool. All right. Build the ark. You study animal husbandry. I'm going to be in this place with all these animals. How am I going to take care of them? Where there's grace, you step out. You change. Say, this is what I'm used to. I cannot do it. Okay, if you cannot do it, step aside. I'll get somebody else to do it. And then you'll drown. Christians are suffering because they are stiff. They're stiff and it's bad. You must not be like that. No. You say no. You say, I will be what I need to be to get what I need to get. To fulfill my destiny. Whatever it takes. It's not what I like. Come on, can we do that? It's not what I like. It's not what I feel like. It's what I must do to reach my destiny. Okay, if you learn that and begin to walk like that, you begin to achieve stuff. Don't let this year pass. Don't let it pass by and you remain the same way. Just change. Neither give place to the devil. Easy to change. Then the next verse says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. So easy. Don't do it again. Just say, I'm not doing this again. I want to have a great destiny. Simple. There's grace available for me. Amen? Point number 3. Boy, I've spent so much time recapping. I don't know when I want to recap. I just get into it. But I'm sure you get to, I know I refreshed some points and then made some stronger. Point number 3. Learn to speak the word of grace to yourself. The word of grace. Speak the word of grace to yourself. It is very, very important. If you will see the grace of God manifest in your life and you will enjoy the grace and walk in it and do not frustrate the grace of God, you must learn to speak the word of grace to your own self. Let's begin from 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Go to 1 Samuel 30. Let me show you something there. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Are you there? Alright. Let's just see this. I want to see something here. I'm doing something else here. Don't worry. Alright. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. Next verse. And had taken the women captives that were daring. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So they didn't kill anybody, just packed everybody, just took them away. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Next verse. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Next verse. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Next verse. And David was greatly distressed, right? For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, the reason why I show you this verse, say, what's the connection here? Is how we can miss the revelation in this verse. The point we will miss in this verse is that when the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, you will think that David was thinking. He was not thinking. You might not have been taught properly. You just say, people will just teach you, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I say, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You say, I'm encouraged in the Lord. Good. No problem. But the truth is this, David was not thinking. When the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord, it means that David was talking to himself. Literally, you could say like a madman. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see now. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my strength. My God, you see what I'm saying now? That's what he was saying. When he said he encouraged himself, it means he was talking to himself. We must learn to actually speak the word of grace to ourselves. In essence, this year is for me glad tidings of good things. I enjoy glad tidings of good things. And you will say, I'm very powerful. You must learn to, this is how you maximize grace. You can have grace, but learn to speak grace in your, by yourself. You will say, Riel, right? Say, Riel, you are great. The light of God shines upon you. Call you, see, you are speaking to yourself. Call your name. Let me tell you something. 90% of the time that people are speaking and calling your name is not actually grace they are speaking. 90% of the time. They actually, I'm telling you, I'm just being frank. You know what I'm saying. That is how faith now went to go and do this. That is how faith did that. That is how Christy did this. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. 90% of the time. No, you. How many people do you think? Are you still in church? How many people do you sit down and say, Christy is blessed. Christy is going forward. The light of God shines upon Christy. Ah, nothing. come on, really? Who do you think is doing that one? I mean, yes, now you say, Pastor. Now, hey, Pastor. After Pastor, Uncle. You, Uncle. You see, your neighbor wakes up in the morning and they are speaking and calling your name. No. All man for himself. God for also. Are you just getting this? But you must speak to yourself, right? Learn to speak to yourself. I mean, you are calling your own name and taking the word of grace and putting it upon your own lips and saying it to yourself. Throughout the day, the light of God shines. I enjoy good things, right? I enjoy the good things of the gospel. Just say it out of nowhere. Just say it. You will say, it will be powerful if you will call your name inside and say it. Because really, nobody will call your name. And like I've told you, they call your name is just, I was calling for one error you did. Nobody call your name to speak grace into your life. So take the word of God and speak grace into your life. I enjoy the good things. I am fruitful. I am blessed. The light of God shines upon me. Yeah, you're speaking those things upon your life there. Are you here? That's how you maximize grace. It's not enough to have the grace there, but to be saying it. Be speaking that grace upon your life. You maximize it when you speak it out. When you say it out loud. Like I said, David encouraged himself. He was not thinking. David was talking. Go to Psalm 42. Let me show you this in Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse number 5. Psalm 42 and verse number 5. The Bible says, look at it now. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Who is he talking to? Is it? He's talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Only in story. You are reading it now. You don't see how it sounds like. So sit down and say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He even wrote a song. That's why it's in Psalm. It's a song. He not told the song. And why are thou disquieted within, quieted in me? Why are you disquieted in me? Why are you not happy inside? Inside me, oh, me. His soul, oh, himself. What I'm sharing with you is very powerful. I'm not trying to preach on that Sunday service. January is very important. What I'm teaching is very important. Learn these things. So how would I talk to myself? I'd just be going, yes, on the way, on the road, in the afternoon, as you are walking. Say, the light of God shines upon me. You know, no. Just speak grace to your life by yourself. Say it several times through the day. I'll talk to you about even the power. There's something, when I was meditating upon this and praying for this, it just doesn't mean I was almost learned to speak in tongues, praying the Holy Ghost through the day. So you are by yourself and you say, Lipro Saka Bahala Mashede. Just speak that tongue out of your mouth. It no kill you. It no remove anything for your body. So why not do it? It's very powerful. You say it's hard, but it's powerful. Speaking to yourself, why are thou cast down, oh my soul? He's the one saying it to himself. You don't wait for somebody to come and tell you. Nobody come and you go to somebody and say, hey, glad tidings of good things. Say it to yourself. And that's why we prepare stickers, right? And stickers, you get some after the service. You know, so when you see it, you say, ah, good things follow me everywhere in my life. Come on. Good things in my life. You are saying those things. So imagine the guy saying, why are thou cast down? This is David, though. All the people that named their children David, look at his practice. Why are thou cast down, O my soul? And why are thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall not praise him for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him. So David is saying, I will praise God for the things he has done. I will say of the Lord, I will yet praise him. He said, wake up my soul, be excited. Why are you downcast? That's what happened though. When he said David encouraged himself in the Lord, he didn't say David sat down, I was thinking. He was not thinking, he was saying some things out of his mouth. If you must maximize the grace of God, you must learn to say these things out of your mouth. The grace of God for us this year, glad tidings of good things. Have you said it out of your mouth? How many times? You see now. So I don't. Somebody will not say I'm talking to myself. My dear, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself by yourself. Encourage yourself. Build yourself. Bible says David encouraged himself, right? What about David built himself? David blessed himself. That's where they come up to say you are the best. You are the first prophet of your life. You are not just the first, though. You are also the best prophet of your life. Imagine the frequency at which you can open your mouth and bless yourself. Okay. You have mouth now. Nobody holds your mouth. Even in your office where you are working for your boss, you can be speaking to yourself. Imagine the frequency with which you can do it. The frequency with which you can speak in your life. If you will get up in the morning and then you are going through the day and you just say, Kabo Shakala Maha. Nobody is to say it. You say, but I'm not praying. It doesn't mean. Just say it out. Let the Holy Spirit bubble out words from you to God anyhow through the day. Then just say, ah, my day is blessed. I'm exceedingly fruitful. Ah. I go, why would I say that? It's not somehow. It's somehow to bless yourself. I mean, if somebody now looks at me, he will not say, we'll get there. We'll get to somebody, people. But people look at people too much. Don't care about the people on the street. They don't care about you. And when they want to talk about you, like I said, it's bad things. So if you don't open your mouth and speak and pour grace, use a raw body. Say if you take a raw body. You take grace, raw body. You will see the manifestation. You will see the power of that grace. I'm telling you, very simple thing. Good things, glad tidings of good things. Surely goodness and mercy follows me. You're working by yourself. Surely goodness and mercy follows me. Today I'm exceedingly fruitful. Favor, divine favor is upon my head. Huh? The Lord caused my face to shine. Real. Ah, you are exceedingly prosperous. No one can destroy you. Huh? Call your name and speak to yourself. Use grace, raw body. Maximize the grace of God. Many a times we are thinking it. We are thinking, but that's not true. That's not what David did there. That's not what David did. He encouraged himself. David was talking. You are seeing Psalm 42. He was talking. He was talking to himself. He was talking it out loud. He was saying, ah. He says, he was saying, I and they that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. We are not for captivity. Ah, my wife, strength. No. This can happen. The power of God is upon my life. And then by his grace, by my God, I run through a troop. Ah, he said, my God who has taught my hand to war. He was talking. He was not quiet. The way you are reading Psalm 42, like I said, once it's in a psalm, you know it's a song. It's a song. He was singing it. When he was singing, wake up. Why has that cast down, oh my soul? Why hast thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Abi? He said, I don't like the tune. Me too, I don't like your own tune. Everything is just. He said, no, I said, and then I go and write the choir, write the tune, good tune for this song. Follow the tune. Words by David, lyrics by David, music by you. Will not mind. Oh, my soul, do you not know? Have you not heard? He's been told. From, somebody put song, but it's Bible. You put your own. Put your own. Put your own tune here. Encourage yourself. Speak to yourself. But learn to speak to yourself. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. I have this to show you there. In verse number 18, Ephesians 5, 18. Let me show you this there. And I think this point is powerful, right? Get this point. You speak to yourself there. Go to the next one. Let's see if we can do two today. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5, 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Next verse. What do you do? Fill the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is that? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You've heard about speak what? Speak to your what? To yourselves. And then you will now also sing, and then you make melody in your heart. When you speak to yourself, songs will follow it. Melody in your heart will be there. That is the right procedure. It's not heart first. You speak to yourself first. When you have spoken to yourself, the grace and take and rob body, then you will find that song. If you don't want to laugh, it's your business. You will find that song. I saw it in one skit somebody made. I saw it in one skit. The guy was angry with the lady. I was just saying, see you. I'm calling her manner of names. And the lady would just say, take and rub body. I said, this is this. she just refused to get angry. It was very funny. But the one caught me in the whole thing was, just take and rub body there. You know, I mean, so just like that. So you speak to yourselves in songs, in psalms and hymns, and then like Psalm 42 we're singing just now, and then spiritual songs and singing, and then you are making melody in your heart. If you follow that procedure, by 2026 December, you'll be making melody in your heart. You will not be complaining. You will not be complaining. You'll be, if you have spoken to yourself through the year, and I'm telling you, I want to say this, I want to emphasize it. Say your own name. Call your name. Don't let it sound strange. Don't let it sound strange. Can you call your name and say I'm blessed? Call your name and say I'm blessed. You call your name. You see it now. It's powerful. Powerful. The light of God shines upon me. By his light I walk through darkness. Huh? Alright. That's powerful. So the apostle says, speak to yourselves. Something very, very powerful there. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 13. I'll round up this with this. Hebrews 13. This one is powerful. You need to get this. It's not so that we will think about it. Previous verse, please. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see what he has said? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But the next verse says this, so that we may boldly think. Come on. Come on. So we'll think about it. But what do we say? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? You see that now? He has said it. The Lord has said it so that we may boldly say it. Not thinking. So when David encouraged himself in the Lord, it's not that David was now thinking. If you get that right, you will stop thinking and you will start talking. And once you start talking, you will start seeing grace manifest in your life. You know what I'm saying? Very important. So if there's something you get to maximize the grace of God for this year, is that you will start speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. Talking to yourself. Call your name and bless yourself. And bless yourself. Use the grace of God as an ointment on yourself in the morning, and use the grace of God as a medication in the afternoon. Take the grace of God as another tablet in the evening. I mean, and you see the manifestation of that grace. All right. I'm giving you the point, so it's up to you what you do with it. What do you want to do with it? But for the past 2 years, this is something, I'm not telling you that it's an eternal something, but for the past 2 years, I've been working in this revelation and these truths. We're just speaking the word of God. For the past 2 years, speaking the word of God and just baiting with it. Just saying it, and I mean, and just saying the word of God. Very powerful. Say it out of your mouth. The Lord has said some things, but so that we may boldly say it. It's not just saying it to people. We have that issue. We're not about saying it to people. It's no. David, when David says, "Oh my soul, why that disquieted within me? Why that downcast within me?" He was not talking to somebody. He was by himself in his room. Bible says David encouraged himself. He didn't say he was telling them. He didn't tell the men. I mean, if you take that scripture, if you go back and you now take David encouraged himself, you will see the point there. That if David sat down, the whole thing was going south. Everything was gone south, rather. Taking his wife and his wife and children and his children. And then David sat down and then began to encourage himself. It means that he began to talk. He was talking to himself. They were there thinking about stoning him. While they were thinking of stoning David, he was busy talking to himself. Powerful stuff. We won't use that just now. Next thing. Next point. Point number four. It will maximize the grace. We must understand the working of grace. Understand how grace works. Understand the working of grace. There's a misconception I want to correct. And that many people miss. Once we say grace now, I know what's in your mind. But I want to help you when you understand how the working of grace. Grace, the working of grace does not mean, the error that people make is that they think that when we say grace, it means that nothing will happen to you. It means that there will be nothing wrong will happen. There will be no downtime. But that is not true, right? Grace does not mean things will not go wrong. Grace does not mean things will not go wrong. In fact, from where we just read just now, right? Where we just read in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Where we just read. We consider the story of David. You know David now. Anointed with oil. Anointed with oil. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. You see where we read just now in 1 Samuel. They carried his wife and children. I mean, many believers are always in, they're always in shock. How does this kind of thing happen to me? You must understand the working of grace. We always miss the working of grace. That if a man is graced, it means that nothing wrong will happen. That's very bad. Very bad. A very bad, negative, wrong, devilish theology. That to say now that because I have the grace of God, it means that nothing wrong will happen. It means from January through to December, nothing wrong will happen. That is a lie. I will tell you something. One thing that is common with people who have grace is that they won at the end. It's not that they didn't have challenges. In fact, they all had challenges. And their challenges were different. But the only thing that is common between them, all of them, is that they won at the end. Are you here? So it will mean that things, what I want to say to you now, that things will go south. The error we have is that when David says, look at David, you know Psalm 23, then you get to, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know the psalm now. It looks as if they follow each other, Abby. After thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's not true. After thou anointed my head with oil, I ran into the wilderness. He ran into the wilderness. Things were happening. I mean, it's the same David that wrote, do not be discouraged to me. It's the same David, we just read just now that they captured his wives and children. The same David. How can that kind of thing happen to David? But you are reading that, anointed my head with oil, my cup ran over, and you are thinking that it means that David's life was straight. That it means that from January, as he just got up and said, this year, the year, then when you go. So many believers are shocked. When something happens, they begin to wonder grace. And they begin to doubt. Once you doubt that grace, you've actually given it up. That is enough. Then we take the prayer of Jabez. Can we look at the prayer of Jabez? 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 9. Right? You look at Jabez. Jabez, the Bible says, many people know the prayer of Jabez. He says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Next verse. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand may be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. When you read a verse like that, what do you think? You see that now? You see that he just prayed that, and then God granted him his request. It's like genie in a bottle. So he just said, then God just said, bam! His house just flooded. Rice, things just came in. The stuff just landed. Then God just came. He just became. Then just nothing happened. He didn't even need to go to work, self. Nothing happened in his office. No story. I think that's the problem. We don't understand that between verse 1 and verse 2, there could be 15 years. Between chapter 3 and chapter 4 in your Bible, it could be as much as 10 years. When Joseph saw his star, and he saw the sun and the moon, and saw the stars bow before the sun and the moon, until when Joseph became prime minister in Egypt, between 13 to 15 years. Funnily, you can check it anytime. Funnily, the same thing with David. The same time. You know, David became king at 30. Joseph became prime minister at 30. Jesus began his ministry at 30. The people that said, let me just do this here. I want to spoil a lot. I want to spoil something. Huh? The people that said, fool at 40. Is fool. They want to waste 10 years of your life. It's actually 30. The priesthood begins at 30. I'm telling you, it's there in your Bible. You become a priest in the old covenant at 30. Joseph, 30. Jesus, 30. David, he was anointed king finally at 30. Check your Bible. You can do any. It's not hard now. This day and age, you can check it. If you wait till 40, you have wasted life. Your life really begins at 30. I'm going to go today. You got something here? We'll come and continue from here next week. I mean, we'll go and we'll see how to maximize the grace of God. It's not enough to have grace. It's enough to use it. Use the grace of God. Use it. I've shown you how to use it. You have to have desire. If you have a tractor, a bulldozer in your house, and there's nothing for it to bulldoze, then it's a waste. If you have the power of God and there's no desire, it doesn't go anywhere. The power of God that desire channels the power of God into your life and makes it productive. Number one. Number two, I talked to you about what? About change. You have to also learn to change. And when you change, you adapt, you move and get into the plan of God. Be the person that God wants you to be so you can get what God wants you to get. Then number three, I just spoke to you about speaking the word of grace into your own life, right? You speak the word of grace into your own life. Call your name. Do it. Take it 3 times a day, 10 times a day. There are things that we'll say it's a therapy. If it's a therapy, you can't overdo it. I remember I told you during our course of our fasting and prayer that you cannot overdo God. You cannot overdose taking God. So you can say it as many times as possible. If you are just come down from church and I say I'm blessed, I mean this week productive, and you go and you do that, say that, speak the word of grace into your life. If you will not forget, if you forget every other thing, just remember, use grace, rob body, right? Number four now, understand the working of grace. I will show you, we'll go deeper, but I'm not preaching anymore today. We will go deeper in that next week when we'll come. We'll look at maybe 2 or 3 more next week by the power and grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I am changed today in the name of Jesus. Would you just say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Liso brako jekteli brakandus. I've received light. Father, I have received light for my life. I have been transformed in your presence. I received illumination and I'm going forward in my life going forward this week as a new man in the name of Jesus. Speaking the word of grace into my own life. Encouraging myself and building myself. Speaking words out of my mouth to maximize your grace that has been poured out upon my life. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm willing to step out, willing to change, and to be all that I need to be so that I can get all that you have provided for me in the name of Jesus. Would you pray this morning and say, Father, your word works in me. Father, your word works in me. In the name of Jesus, your word works in me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the working of your word in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for transformation. Thank you, Lord, for upliftment. In the name of Jesus, they are going forward, growing in the name of Jesus, entering into all that you have for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for you today. You are going into all that God has in store for you. In the name of Jesus, there are no hindrances on your path. In the mighty name of Jesus, the grace and power of God is evident in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, the things that God wants you to get into, you will see them clearly and you will get into them. You will know them inside of you. In the name of Jesus, the footsteps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. Your steps are ordered in the name of Jesus. You are at the right place at the right time. In the mighty name of Jesus, there is grace now upon your life to speak words into your own life. In the mighty name of Jesus, either though you have not spoken before, but now you will begin to speak. You begin to speak grace into your life. You begin to encourage yourself. In the mighty name of Jesus, your mouth is open now. You're not quiet. You are not, I'm a quiet type. I don't talk. No, you will begin to speak to yourself and maximize the grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. You begin to use the grace of God to get to the place that you need to get to do things, to function in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You are blessed. You are enlarged in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. Good things flow in your life. You are not just hearing good things. You are experiencing, you are entering into good things in your life in the name of Jesus. The good things of the gospel, they are manifest in your life in the name of Jesus. You are going beyond good news and you are walking in good things in the mighty name of Jesus. I and they that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. You are for signs and wonders. You are for increase. You are for manifestation of God's power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You cannot be cursed. This, no curse can stay on you. No curse can stay on you. Yes, you are the blessed of the Lord. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. You are blessed and no man can curse you. In the name of Jesus, you prosper. Be fruitful. Prosper. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.